before we move on to the next part of your life, at the wind-up, the end of Clondalkin, there was quite a lot of assets worth in the region of about 3 million, I think, in paper and other and machinery and lots of other things. How was that dispersed? Where did it go to?
No idea. That happened after I'd left. The liquidator, Bernard Summers, would have been responsible for disposing.
Who was Bernard Summers?
He's the brother of Dr. Michael Summers, you know, who was the big man with the government finances. He's an accountant and a managing partner in, I can't remember the auditing company, like Pricewaterhouse, one of those. And he was the appointed liquidator by the courts. Yeah. He disposed of the assets.
I see.
I wasn't there.
Yeah.
I was up here.
Did you continue to remain in good friends with Henry Lund?
Oh, absolutely. We used to meet and have a meal and a drink with Brian himself and myself and Bernard Summers.
Who was Brian?
Brian was the managing director of the paper mill.
At the time, yeah.
Yeah, he was appointed by Henry. He worked with Henry.
That's Brian who now?
Brian Malloy.
Oh, yes.
Brian Malloy was the managing director. Brian was managing director. I was personnel director. John Kilduff was sales director. Bill Scott was production director. And Jim Daly was financial controller, financial director. They were the five directors.
I see, yeah. And just at that particular time, I would imagine that because you were trying to negotiate and to get a good deal, as good a deal as possible for everybody, I'm sure that was your main intention, that you would have stuck together and you would have remained friends long afterwards.
We did, and I spoke to Brian. Actually, Brian's been in touch with me a few times. He offered me other positions. He set up his own group. So yes, we were very, we had to stand firm during very difficult times. Very difficult. There was a lot of unsavoury threats made and so on.
Was there?
Yes, yeah.
By the workforce?
I'd never say that.
Yeah.
But maybe people, agents, organisations that were supposedly supporting them. But I don't believe the threats would have come from our former employees, no.
And was that scary? I mean, did that worry you?
If you had a special branch guy sitting outside your house 24 hours, and on the lighter side, when I was leaving Dublin to come to work here, I had a going away party with him, with the detective. Lad lived in Lucan. Oh, yeah. No, I'm not saying it was any of the employees, you know, there were all sorts of organisations offering, because it was so high profile.
And the tension, I would imagine, was terrible.
Oh, yeah, it would have been, yeah.
Did it affect your health? Or?
It did. It was worse here at times, actually, because this is, you know, Ballina and Killala are two small towns, you know. But I set another record in Portugal in 2007, I had a quintuple bypass. Not a quadruple, but a quintuple.
How many is that?
Five.
That's five bypasses.
Yeah, so the combination of Asahi and Clondalkin left its mark.
Just very briefly, what happened down there? Or what happened with the company? You saved them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And what did you do to save the company?
By the time I'd left Clondalkin, I had no patience with anybody. And I made an agreement with the president of Asahi Chemical Industry Company, Japan. in the Burlington Hotel, in the Berkeley Court Hotel in Dublin, that I'd come on board if I had a full authority to close it down if I failed. And that no, if I failed to turn it round.
Yes.
I wanted it closed.
Okay, and was it that threat that actually kept it going?
To a huge extent.
I suppose you did your best to keep Clondalkin going, and yes, now you're with this company, and you turned them around.
Yes.
But what did you do to turn the company around?
Took them on head first.
Yes.
You know, sorted the men from the boys. Management had a lot to answer for. They were inept in certain circumstances and cowardly in others. So we started at the top and got rid of the two most senior managers on the site. And then we started to work our way down until we eventually sorted it out.
Mm-hmm. Was that because of industrial disputes as well? Or
Intransigence, yes. Refusing to change with the times. A loss-making operation that we're treating like... some of the people were treating it like we were printing money.
Yeah.
To talk them on head on, you know, to talk the unions to one side privately and told them in no uncertain terms, the Japanese will really welcome the opportunity to put the chain and lock up that gate and go home. Mm. Because they have nothing to stay here for in the present circumstances.
Why were the Japanese so anxious to come to Ireland and to have the factory?
Because the Killala site offered cheap land, copious supplies of water which were needed for the process from Loch Conn,
yeah,
and an outfall system for treated water into the Killala Bay. It had all the requirements of the Cashmillan acrylic fibre operation. That's why they went there. But their systems were not accepted by the Irish workers, and the Irish managers were totally in default. They did nothing to try and help. Just stood by and watched the losses pile up.
Were you dealing with government at that stage?
Indirectly. Gareth Fitzgerald was the Taoiseach. He was on holidays in West Cork.
Yeah.
And had contacted one of his ministers who had contacted Turlough O'Sullivan in the FUE, IBEC,
mm-hmm.
and asked them, would they go in? Would the FUE go in and try and sort it out? And Turlough O'Sullivan apparently said, no, that's not our function, you know, to go in on a permanent basis to a company.
Yeah.
So they put me forward. I was proposed, and I had several meetings with the Japanese. There was absolute war. My wife kicked up murder.
Why?
Oh, leaving Dublin, my God. She cried for weeks, for months.
What's your wife's name?
Mary. She'll be around here somewhere now.
But Mary what? Mary, what was her maiden name?
Oh, Greenalch.
And was she a Dublin woman?
She was, yeah. Born and done in Sandymount or somewhere like that.
Yeah. So you came up here under great pressure then. Yeah.
I was under huge pressure family-wise. I had five children. The oldest was 16. The youngest was 4 or 5. But they all settled in here after. It is home now.
Yeah.
Very much so. I dug out a lot of stuff. Which, obviously, in this particular type of session, you won't need. But I have a CV, mm-hmm. sort of a one- or two-page CV, which shows you all of the things that I was promoted to. Because I had government appointments besides the directorships.
What were those government appointments?
I was appointed to the board of the ICC, the Industrial Credit Corporation, by Alan Jukes. And to the board of Knock Airport.
Were you?
Yeah. But that's all. And I'll give you that from a banking point of view.
So
I'll give you that anyway.
Do. And so you're still working. I see you're...
Yeah. Asahi officially left their responsibilities in June 1998 when the statement of affairs was presented. But I still represent Asahi as a consultant for indemnities, employee indemnities and environmental indemnities. So I'm still a link with, and I'm still on the site. But I negotiated the sale of the assets out of Killala, which included 400 acres of land and 88 acres of a plant site. I negotiated the sale to a New Jersey company, International Process Plants. And we got a reasonable price. We, as Asahi, we just wanted to step out and have an honourable wind down.
Yeah.
And I'm still on the site. And I have an office here. I work from here as well.
Yeah. Well, listen, thank you very much for your very, very fascinating story. Michael Honan, thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Morrison.